Friday night, I had, along with my wife, an unexpected honor to be the Grand Marshals of the Nixa Sucker Day Parade. Yeah. And seriously, I was honored by that, and thankful for Brother Glenn, Scott, and Kay that drove the vehicle and really made that possible. Before that, things... Well, I'll just tell the story. Before that, we are moving to a home in Nixa. Many of you are aware of that, and we're on the verge. Tomorrow they move the big articles for us, and so... We had an idea, didn't we, that we would take a couple of symbolic items, things that had significance for the Blue family, and we would carry them into that home. That's Peggy's place. We refer to that because of our dear friend Peggy Smith and who lived there until she went to live with Jesus. And so we were going to take those in, and the plan was to take them in, place them kind of symbolically, and then after we placed them there, we were going to pray over them, dedicating ourselves and our family and that house to the Lord. Good plan. Okay, so we made our choice. And we chose the big family Bible that we've had forever that's got information about the family in it. You know what I'm talking about. To take that. And that was a good choice. Good choice. And then to take Debbie's Grandpa Herman Maples metal clock. Heavy clock, wasn't it, Debbie? Heavy metal clock. About 100 years old or so, maybe a little more than that. And to take that. And so we did. We went to the home in Nixa, opened the door. Oh, it's ready. It's beautiful. Bob and Lucia have that in such wonderful shape. And up on the mantle, beautiful lamp, blue and white and tasteful. Lucia, she's got great taste. And so the lamp's up there. The room is warm and soft from the light of the lamp. Everybody with me. And I'm carrying the clock. Did I mention it was heavy? Okay, I'm want to be sure I don't leave out any parts of the story. So I'm carrying this clock. Now, anybody can put a clock on a mantle without a problem. Except one person in the whole world. And you're looking at him, I'll tell you. So I take this clock in. Debbie goes into the kitchen. I take the clock. I lift it up. Bob, did I tell you it was heavy? Yeah, it's heavy. Okay, so I lift this clock up. And I put it up on the mantle. And everything seems good. And then I adjust it. And as I adjust it, the mantle tips. Because the clock is heavy. And from the corner of my eye, I see this beautiful lamp as it begins its final journey. Yeah. And it did a dive. Bah! And I heard Debbie in the kitchen moan. And I felt sick at my stomach. And I waited to take my medicine. And I'll tell you, sweet Debbie came in. She did not say a single word. She just came in silence. Deep silence. Now, I tell that story for a reason. Some of you here last week, you'll understand this. Sometimes it's hard to always think well of others. That's the whole point of the story. And you women would agree with that, wouldn't you? Sometimes it's hard. And then I have to mention in passing that as we came near to the end of that parade, the gentleman that came out of the crowd up to the car, "I'd like a kiss from the pretty lady to my wife." Sometimes it's hard to think nicely about. And she just put that to his cheek. Yeah, yeah. And I appreciated her doing that. But listen to me. We were in Philippians chapter 2. And in Philippians chapter 2, we learned a house rule. One of God's house rules for how to get along in the family of God. We found a house rule. And the house rule came out of a passage of Scripture where it said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of what? Mind. In lowliness of mind, let others esteem others better than himself. And the house rule was simple. I didn't say it's easy. I said it's simple. It's this. Always think well of others. And I know some of us would respond, it's impossible. I've heard horror stories this week about things. And I know that it's easy to dwell on those things. But I will tell you, our calling is still to think well of others. Always think well of others. But sometimes it's hard. And I freely acknowledge that. Now today, we want to add another house rule. But before I do, let me remind you of a single truth that I said last week, I'm going to say today, and I'll say next week. So if you're a note taker, there is a place in the back of your service folder, and it says sermon notes, I think, and it's a chance for you to write it down. So here's what I am saying in all 3 weeks. When God's house rules are observed, unity is preserved. That's incredibly important in the church. When God's house rules are observed, unity is preserved. And out of that unity comes power. And out of that unity comes evangelism. Out of that unity comes worship. Out of that unity comes service. Out of that unity comes the fellowship that is supernatural. All of that from unity. And when God's house rules are observed, unity is preserved. And the first house rule, always think well of others. Who determines what you think? You say she does, you're in trouble. You say he does, you say the preacher determines what I think. Number one, I'm not going to think for you. But number two, you are responsible for your thought life. And I challenge you, always think well of others. Now, today we go to Ephesians 4. And I've said many times, I'll say it again, that if I only had one passage of Scripture to do relational teaching in the church or in the community, I'd choose this. I think it's the best. I've read many good books on relationships, but I promise you, I think this is the best that you will find. And I'm going to read several verses. I'm going to start with verse 25, and I'm actually going to go to the end of the chapter, maybe a little farther than I had originally planned. But I want to read here. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, listen, Paul is writing to Christians. He's not writing to those who reject Christ. He's writing to those who profess faith in Christ, like us. Are you ready? Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Verse number 29 is a focus verse for the day. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We'll be back to this text next week. God's house rules. And I want to invite you with your Bible open to look back again at verse number 29. And we're going to take a little time on a word. Here's what it says. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Let no. Everybody say no.
No.
I want to make sure you understand this coming from the inspired word of God. Let no corrupt word Now we need to understand that word corrupt, because if God Himself says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, it would be wise for us to understand what that word means. So let me give you some alternate readings. In one translation, it's foul. Let no foul words proceed out of your mouth. Often when we think of that, of course, we probably think of four-letter words or what we would call barnyard language, that kind of thing, as it would have been spoken of at one time. No foul words. No unwholesome is another translation. No unwholesome words. Here's another one. No dirty words. Another one. No abusive words. That's the New Living Translation. I like it. No abusive words. But the most powerful, evocative understanding of this word corrupt is this word, putrefying. Do you ever smell something that smelled really, really, really bad? Debbie and I went on vacation one time, came home. The electricity had been off. We did not know it. It was summertime. And we walked into the garage, knew something was amiss. And the chest freezer was there and lifted it up and wished I hadn't. I should have called a deacon along about then, you know, but I failed to remember that. But it was putrefying. You probably at one time or the other saw where something had died and the maggots were in it. And the very picture of it tells you it's going to stink. What stinks to God? What stinks to God? And in the text that I read, you might pick up on several possibilities. You might say, well, I know one thing that stinks to God. One thing that stinks to God is lying. You'd be absolutely right. God hates a lying tongue. Somebody might say, I'll tell you, it is anger that bursts out and hurts other people. You'd be right. That's verse 26. Somebody might say, stealing. Oh, that stinks to God. You'd be right. You'd be right. But I will tell you, I don't think anything stinks to God any more than when God hears His spiritual sons and daughters chewing on, chewing out, and chewing up one another. I want to say that again because I want you to get this. When God hears that, it stinks. Let no corrupt word, no putrefying word, no rotten word, no foul word, no dirty word, none, no word proceed out of your mouth. And it stinks in the nostrils of God. And I'd like to say it doesn't happen in my life. I'd like to say it doesn't happen in your life. But the Bible tells us that even in church, it happens. So that when Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, Paul said, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Cannibal Christians. Cannibal Christians chewing up one another. And God says, it breaks my heart and it stinks. Let no foul, no corruptive or corrupting language come out of your mouth. And sometimes if you're noticing, you'll catch a whiff of that stench in your home. And sometimes in your car, even on the way to church. Sometimes in a classroom at the church where someone is giving others a piece of his mind that he can ill afford to lose. And sometimes it can be heard in the pastor's office or in the office hallway. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouths. We're talking about Christians who are not minding their mouths. You see, God's house rule number one could be stated, mind your mind. But this one is talking about the mouth. The first one could be about your thoughts. This is about your tongue. And James tells us that that old tongue's an unruly evil. Oh, it's like a forest fire. Sets the world on fire. As if it was coming from hell itself. God's house rules. When God's house rules are observed, unity is preserved. Let me give you house rule number two. You're already there. You know what it is. But let me give it to you. God's house rule number two. Always speak well of others. Now, I will tell you. Hear me carefully. I'm your pastor. I love you. There are times you need somebody. It could be me, another pastor. It could be one close friend that you can go to. You can open your heart and spill out some garbage. You need that. Maybe it's a trained counselor, and I thank God for those. I do from the bottom of my heart. Christian counselors have been so precious to me in my years in ministry, and I thank God for that. And I'm not saying you don't need that. So don't misunderstand me. Because I think there are times you need to go take your pastor by the hand or a friend, and you need to sit down and say, I got to tell somebody what I'm feeling, and it'll all spill out. That's okay. But listen to me, if you're doing that over and over and over with many people, you are most definitely out of the will of God. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What we find in this verse we found last week, Paul begins with a prohibition. A negative, if you will. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But he moves from the prohibition to something positive. We're going to look at both of those in just a moment. So how are we to speak to one another, especially in the family of God? Well, negatively, we're not to speak corruptingly. Corruptingly. We're not to use that kind of talk that diminishes and demeans and tears down somebody else. And I'll tell you, after 35 years of serving as a senior pastor and a lot more years involved in the church, here is what I think. 99% of the problems in churches would end if people would ferme la bouche, which is the only French I still remember. Close your mouth. That takes care of most of it. Is when we learn to be still and know that He and He alone is God. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That is not to be heard in the family of God. Those worthless words should not be spoken. You've heard this little saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The things that are hurting many of you today are the words that were spoken 30 years ago. Or 50 years ago. Or 5 minutes ago. Words. They fester in the human heart and the human spirit. The power of words. The power of words. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No hurtful, cruel words that penetrate somebody's heart and stinks in the eyes of God. And you know, Jesus taught us something, that every idle word we'll give an account for it in the day of judgment. Does that scare anyone but me? Every idle word we give an account for it. Well, what are we going to say to God when He asks us why we said what we said about a brother or sister in Christ? Jesus said in Matthew 15, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. What comes out of the mouth. What comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. Improper language is wrong. Lying is wrong. Gossip is rotten. Critical backbiting stinks. Filthy language, dirty jokes foul our lives. There is a language that tears down, words that destroy. And Paul says and God says, do not let those corrupt words come out of your mouth. Stop it. And there would always be some that would say, I can't do that. I can't do that. And I say you can. And you start by being still. And then you recognize that we talk too much. The reason we have trouble controlling our mouths is because they are talking all the time. It becomes a tool in the devil's hand. So Paul says clearly, with the prohibition, and he does it to protect the church. He does it to protect the unity of the church, and that is, don't speak corruptingly. Don't speak corruptingly. Always speak well of others. God's house rule number two. And God's house rule number two is one of the things that will preserve the unity of the church. But that's the negative, and I love the positive. And don't miss this, because if you get hold of this, it can change your marriage. Listen to me, I love you so much. It can change your marriage. Listen to what he says. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That's going to already give you about an 85% boost in your home. But then he says, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Oh, what a filter for your mouth. Is this something that is edifying? That is, will it build them up? Will it make them better? You're asking that question. You're learning and you're training your tongue not to say it if it does not do that. Is this something that will impart grace to the hearers? Will it be a gift to them? Will it be an encouragement to them? Sometimes it is confrontational, but it's always with a redemptive motive, and it's always with a heart of love. And if you don't have that, you need to be still. I was taught when I was a boy, and most of you were taught when you were little, if you can't say something good about someone, don't say anything at all. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. God has given us the privilege of being co-creators with Him of other people. I don't mean in the literal sense of making people, but I mean in the sense of building them up. The words Debbie speaks to me edifies me and builds me up. And prayerfully, the words I speak to her do the same. We get to be co-creators of the people God wants us to be. And I ask myself the question, what are the kinds of words that build me up? And guess what I discovered when I asked that question? I discovered that biblical words build me up. I'll tell you, the older I get, the more I love the Word of God. God speaking to me daily, speaking to me at my point of need, preparing me for something I don't even know is coming. And God is at work in and through my life, through His Word. And sometimes it hurts, because sometimes it's a sharp sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's painful, but God always wields His Word to heal me. To heal me, knowing that I need to repent because the path I'm on is self-destructive. Biblical words build me up. One of the greatest joys of my life is to be able, with my sweet wife, on truly almost every day, to talk about what we're hearing from the Word. My. If we were in a different tradition, she'd be a preaching lady. I'm telling you what. She can do it, and I'm saying that in a very positive way, because she brings me Word, and it builds me up. And hopefully, again, I bring her Word. Biblical words build me up. Faith words build me up. I love people that believe in me. My mama and my daddy believed in me. I love that. My brothers and sisters believed in me. My wife and children believe in me. Many of you say, in essence, you can do what your heart says do and go for it. And I thank God for faith words. Faith words. And some of my dearest friends through the years have been people that spoke faith into my life. I couldn't help but think of Pat Vaughn this morning, as one of her grandsons was here graduating. And oh, what a lady of the Word she was, speaking faith into my heart and into my life. I love visionary words, the kind of words that says it's going to get better. It's going to get better, to picture a better future for me. Debbie and I still sing once in a while with the guitar. We still sing a little song that says, things are going to be better after a while. Tears shall pass and I shall wear a smile. When everything goes wrong, going to sing me a happy song. Things are going to be better after a while. Dottie Rambo, and she's there now where things are better. You know what I'm saying? And I believe in that, and I love visionary words, and we sing those often because they speak to my heart. I love encouraging words. I love helpful words. I love these words. I am praying for you. My. I am praying for you. I love supportive words. And yes, even though they sometimes hurt, I am thankful for correcting words when they come from somebody that loves me. Never underestimate the power of your words. Parents, listen to me. You are shaping your children's lives with words. Not only the words you say to them, but the words you say to your spouse or to others, and they overhear those. Mind your mouth. Let the Holy Spirit, because He's the only one who can, tame your unruly tongue. Because God's second house rule is always speak well of others. So we not only mind our minds and our thoughts, we mind our mouth and our tongue. Do not speak corruptingly, but speak constructively. Build people up. Make people better. Those are God's house rules. We have one more, but those are two. Always think well of others. If you've had a bad week in that area, start again. Don't ever give up. Things are going to be better after a while. And then add to that, always speak well of others. Husbands, can I say one last word to you directly? Not only should you be speaking good words, edifying words to your wife, not only should you be speaking well of her when you speak to her, but I'll tell you, one of the best things in the world is when other people hear you speak positive, building words about your spouse. I got a haircut last week. How many of you think it looks good? I won't take a vote. Yeah, I've got a fragile ego. Can't even say it. Ego. I got a fragile ego. But I did. And I'll tell you this story. Carrie Chadwick, she cut my hair for the first time because my barber he dislocated his arm and it wasn't cutting my hair. I just want to make that clear. But I went to her and she did a great job. I really mean that. Okay. But you know what? We're talking about Glenn Scott. Glenn chaired that Sucker Day, prayed for 28 years or something, the whole thing, and is a board member there. Nixa, anyway, you know what Carrie told me about Glenn? That when she cuts his hair, he brags on his wife and how beautiful she is all the time. Can I tell you one thing about him? He's a smart man. I mean that. Because anytime the community hears you husbands talking well about your wives, your stature goes up as well as your wife's stature. And guess what? Someday she's going to have somebody come to her and say, "Hey, heard your husband bragging on you in the marketplace. Heard your husband bragging on you at work." And one of the goals of my life is to never, ever, ever, ever say anything critical of my wife to her, but especially when I'm away from her. And I challenge husbands, step up, guys. Step up. Because you can make a better marriage if you will always mind your mouth and you will always speak well of your wife. All right. If you need to give your life to Jesus today, we're giving you an opportunity in about 3 minutes. And you'll just come down one of these aisles or out of the balcony and you'll take somebody by the hand and say, "I'm ready because I know that I'm a sinner and I know that I need a Savior and I'm ready to repent of my sin and ask Jesus to come into my heart and life and live with Him forever." Oh my goodness, I give you that invitation gladly. I'm imploring you on His behalf to be reconciled to God. And then somebody might need to come and say, I need to be baptized like Jamie was baptized. You come and tell one of us and share your faith in Christ with us and we'll tell you what to do next. Maybe somebody needs to come and say, "I'm ready to make this my church home." I invite you to do that. And maybe you just need to come to an altar or make one where you stand and say, "God, I need help. And I need to repent because I've not guarded my thoughts, and I've not guarded my lips." I want you to bow for prayer with me. Won't you go ahead and stand as we pray? And then don't leave. Would you do me an honor? Don't leave, because we need to give people a chance to respond. without distraction. Father, I am so thankful for the people who have, for all the days of my life, spoken into my life. Spoken truth. Spoken words from the Bible. Sung words of truth into my heart. And Father, I'm so thankful that the day came that you brought a beautiful young lady into my life who speaks so much good into my life. Thank you for that. Thank you for our family. Thank you for this church family. Thank you, Father. And Father, where I have failed you, I repent of it today, Lord. Help me to do better at watching what I think and watching what I say. Help me, Lord. Father, whatever needs to happen in this next few minutes, let it happen, Lord. Speak to Satan and tell him he has no place in this place. And let your spirit prevail. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.